What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And welcome back to our show, hour number two. We're going to open up the phone lines now, 512-248-8252. Getting on back to the economic news, we are seeing warnings all over of food shortages. They got worse during the pandemic. I think they're going to get really bad in the coming months. So you may want to basically invest in a freezer and lay in some supplies to be able to deal with a breakdown in the system. Okay, the Democrat-controlled House of Representatives voted 219 to 212 to suspend the debt ceiling through December 2022. And over in the Senate, they voted 65 to 35 to avoid a government shutdown just 3 hours before the midnight deadline. They're going to fund the government until December 3rd. They also voted to give $28 billion to hurricane relief and $6 billion to the Afghan refugees. No comment about whether they're going along with eliminating the debt ceiling in the Senate. And, you know, this is just going to fuel more inflation because the Democrats are going to just go on borrowing and spending to try and look good for the midterm elections next year. And, of course, after the elections are over, the bill comes due, and guess who gets the bill? You know, it's sort of like, you know, you give a credit card to your kid, and they go out on a wild buying spree knowing that they're not going to have to pay the bill. You know, you, mommy and daddy, are going to have to do that here. Meanwhile, the Democrats are suggesting giving the president and the Treasury the authority to raise the debt limit. In other words, there would be no more congressional debates. The members of Congress could say, hey, I had nothing to do with it. It was the president and the Department of the Treasury who did it. And we're going to start seeing runaway inflation if that goes through. All right. Over at Dollar Tree, they are having some serious problems. Now, Dollar Tree's entire image is that everything in the store is for sale at a dollar or less, but because of increasing prices for products and supply chain problems, they are now starting to have items for more than a dollar, you know, to deal with soaring inflation. So they're going against their brand. Not the first time this has happened. I remember when I was a kid, there was a store change which was called simply the Five and Dime. It had a longer real name, but everybody called it the Five and Dime, and everything in there was a maximum 10 cents. Of course, I'm old enough where 10 cents really meant something back then. And eventually, they had to go against their brand, and I don't think they're around anymore either here. Now, okay, we have a caller on the line. We have Don in Naples. Hello, Don. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi, Mike. I wanted to talk about 9/11. There's some things there that just don't make scientific sense.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah. I was originally from outside of Pittsburgh area, and I remember watching TV when 9/11 went down, and our local news station, WTAE Channel 4, got there. They're one of the first with a helicopter over in Somerset, Shanksville. And there was no plane. There's absolutely no plane.
No, the wreckage was spread over an 8-mile area, which basically tells us that the airplane came apart up in the air, not on the ground.
Well, they never found an airplane or any parts of an airplane.
Oh, they did find. They did find the parts. They were scattered over an 8-mile area. You know, and that definitely indicated it did not. It did not, you know, go into the ground in one piece.
Well, I had friends that are, you know, firemen that were there to clean up the scene, and they said there was some small debris dropped from the air, but there was no plane parts. And what's even more interesting, if you check the coroner's report, there was not one dead body found. Not one. And then what happened later? The federal government took over the task.
Yes.
And then they delegated it to some workers that weren't, you know, medical people or anything like that, and they put out a release that, they found all the people. But and then the landowner, you know, was trying to expose it, and when he went to expose it, they took the whole property by eminent domain and fenced it off so no one could investigate.
Yeah, and now they put a memorial on it.
Right, right. And then when it comes to the Pentagon, you know, just scientific, you know, evidence would say it's impossible for a plane to hit it like that, because if it's traveling at that speed, there'd be a 70-foot wind buffer underneath it, and it couldn't hit the bomb-proof building on the first floor where they were had the second set of audit records for the missing money that was announced the day before.
Well, in the case, you're talking about the ground effect under the aircraft, you're assuming that the aircraft was still flying at a very high rate of speed, and the problem with that is lower down in the denser atmosphere, the aircraft would definitely slow down, there's a lot of people who are trying to put out that idea that there was no plane at the Pentagon to try and kookify the whole discussion so we don't look at the more obvious problems with the official story, like the way Building 7 collapsed.
Well, you get to Building 7, but staying on the Pentagon, the initial hole in the building was one-third the size of a plane, and it was at ground level. And it never disturbed any of the grass or anything like that. And you can go to YouTube. They have a CNN reporter of all things reporting live on the scene. There's no plane.
Well, you watched too many Roadrunner, Wile E. Coyote cartoons when you were young. Where the coyote or the Roadrunner, they hit a brick wall and they leave this nice little cookie cutter outline. In the surface. The reality is that the airplanes are built very, very light to be cost efficient, and they're able to take the strain of flying, but they're not designed to punch through a heavy wall. If you want a good simulation of what happened to the airplane at the Pentagon, take a real glass Christmas ornament and hurl it against a brick wall. And that is a much more accurate simulation of what happened to the plane. The holes that were punched in the walls match the size of what are called the potable water tanks that were on board the aircraft. And I've got actually a web page with photos showing the debris from the aircraft. It was just shredded by the impact. But there are piles of the aircraft components. There's piles of the luggage that was on board the aircraft as well, and much of the wreckage actually did slide into the ground floor, and then the upper floors pancaked down onto it, and that sort of concealed the size of the damage in that wall.
Well, we still come back to the original issue, which is the hole's one-third the size of an airliner, and there was no part of the airliner found outside.
That hole was from the potable water tank, not the aircraft. The aircraft basically just, accordioned when it hit and shattered, like that glass ornament, against a brick wall.
Okay, well, there's two holes. The one, there was a small hole.
There were two water tanks.
And then later on, everything collapsed on top of it.
Yes.
I'm not talking about the hole that came after it. But moving on to, building number 7, that's where they had the second set of books for the missing Pentagon money.
Yeah, what an amazing coincidence that the plane hit that office. So they were never able to find out where all that money went.
Or even the Enron record, they're doing the audit in number 7.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the Enron thing went away. What was also interesting, being that when you have bonds, most people flip them when the balloon payment comes due. Mm-hmm. And there was a bond called the Black Eagle Trust Bond.
Yes, I remember that one.
Yeah. But they didn't have to announce, who's who and all that. And I guess there's a lot of ties back to George Bush Sr. on that. The rumors are, and it might be true, that had a lot to do with buying out the assets in the USSR after the collapse. But anyway, but one of the things I have a continual discussion with my neighbors. I have some neighbors that are airline pilots, and they keep thinking that planes hit those buildings, one and two. And I have a $1,000 bet with them. I said, before you take the bet to prove that airplanes did hit those buildings, check this out. And then if you still want to do the bet, it's open. And I said, planes that they reported speeds hitting those buildings were well over 500 miles an hour. Well, at sea level, planes can't fly at that speed.
Wait, Dassey, I made that point regarding the Pentagon.
Well, I don't know what the speed of the plane was when it hit the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
But the film footage from the planes hitting the World Trade Centers showed planes are doing well over 500 miles an hour. And it's physically impossible. Not one airline pilot is taking me up on the bet after they've done the research.
Actually, looking at the videos of the planes hitting the towers, to me, it does not look like they're doing 500 miles an hour. It looks like they're barely above stall speed.
No, because architects and engineers, they broke it down and they did the film, and they timed out the film and so forth on it.
I don't think architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth did that. I know Richard Gage. We became friends at the 10th anniversary 9/11 conference, and Gage himself has now, I guess, retired from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. But no, those planes were not going anywhere near that fast. And again, like the plane at the Pentagon, they shredded pretty much on impact. And most of the fuel in those planes burned outside the World Trade Towers. That's what that big orange flash is on impact, is all the fuel burning up. And the fires inside the World Trade Towers were mostly, burning paper and office documents and things like that.
Okay. Are you familiar with Dr. Judy Woods?
I try and avoid her. I know what she's putting out there in terms of theories.
Well, anyhow, what it comes down to, most of the building did not hit the ground. Right. If you took a 110-story or whatever it was those buildings were, if you could collapse them perfectly, like in a trash compactor, which you're not going to be able to do, but if you could, they'd be 13 stories tall. And if you look at the footage, three stories is about the tallest section you'll see. Most of the building did not hit the ground.
Yeah, but you're forgetting, as you said yourself, you couldn't trash compact them straight down. Much of the debris flew out to the sides, and so the pile of debris was three stories tall, but was considerably wider than the original building had been. In any event, I just reposted my article on the plane at the Pentagon to whatreallyhappened.com. You can look in there. There are photos of the landing gear from the aircraft that were inside the ground floor of the Pentagon. And I've given you enough time. I need to move on. So we're going to go to Matt in Minnesota. Hello, Matt. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Just a general thing about the economy. You were saying oil could be 60, 70, 80, 90. There actually are bets that are being placed where it's going to go up to like $200 a barrel.
Well, that would be an absolute disaster. It's at 80 now. It's thought it will hit 90. But, yeah, there's no rule that says it can't go up. And, the oil companies are going to make a profit off of all of this, but it's going to cause a lot of harm. And meanwhile, countries that we import oil from are realizing that we are, in fact, vulnerable. They are no longer afraid of our military because of Afghanistan. And so we've got confluence of effects here that could really spell trouble in the energy market.
This could be, let's call it like a cold winter. I mean,
yes.
It could be one of the worst that we face. And I don't think people realize that. And with the ending of the eviction moratorium, they're not gonna boot anyone out. But I mean, someone has to front this bill too.
Well, it would be nice if the government would be taking care of these problems, but they're too busy bringing in illegal immigrants at the border and trying to get the schools to teach LGBTQ nonsense, and they don't have any time left over to deal with the economy and issues like that. I guess you know, their attitude is, hey, we've got our money, and everybody else, you're on your own.
I'm just saying, if you see prices like that, and I'm personally dealing with economic crisis, not gonna lie, I mean, and people around me, same thing. It's like, I think I went by the gas station today, and this is central Minnesota, not large city, $3.19 a gallon.
It's about the same here.
You can raise the wages all you want, but when it costs that much to even start your car and get there, like, you've already spent half your paycheck getting there.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense. But I mean, there's some. I'm just saying, it's like speculation. But they're saying it could go, you know, like $200 a barrel, which is outrageous.
I agree. OPEC is already signaling, you know, they're not going to intervene to try and bring the oil prices back down again. And I think this is OPEC's way of telling the United States, you know, to go pound sand. To put it politely.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. Well, Mike, I hope you have a great day.
All right. Well, same to you. Thank you for the phone call. And we have open lines, 512-248-8252. We're going to go to Kelly in Austin. Hello, Kelly. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, I heard you talking earlier about discount stores. You remember Ben Franklin's and Lowe's Five and Dime?
Yeah, I was talking about the Five and Dime. I remember that from my childhood.
Yeah, but I remember both of those from my childhood in southern Louisiana. They were all over the place. You know?
Yes.
And then they disappeared, but they were very common. Now, not everything cost five cents or a dime, but everything was pretty cheap. And we all went there. You know, it was a great place to shop. I kind of looked down my nose over the time at places like Dollar Store and whatever else, but I've been in there recently.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in there, and really, I see no reason not to shop there. And it's the pork those stores. They're good establishments, so I encourage people to shop there.
Yeah, now, well, we have a Dollar General here in town that we frequent often. They've got good prices on a lot of stuff that's useful. I don't like their computer paper. It's way too light for double-sided printing, so I get my computer paper at Walmart. But for a lot of other stuff, we just go to the Dollar General.
Yeah, you can find a lot of stuff there. You can't find good beer there. It's pretty bad.
We have a good bottle shop here in town, and I think their new sales slogan is, you know, beer shortage coming, panic buy here.
Yeah, right. Anyway, what else was I going to tell you about here? Oh, yeah, about the Pentagon there and the crash of the Pentagon. You know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I got to tell you that I look at the photographs of what happened at the Pentagon on 9/11, and I have to tell you that, okay, that hole looks interesting, but what I don't see is I don't see the impact of the titanium engines on the walls of the Pentagon, and I don't see any remains.
Well, again, you know, those upper stories collapsed down, obliterating the ground floor where the plane had gone in. And as I mentioned before, I've reposted my article on the pod people and the plane at the Pentagon to whatreallyhappened.com. And there are photos in there that show the components of the engines. I mean, they did shatter on impact. And most of that debris did slide into the ground floor at the Pentagon, where it was then buried under the rubble from the upper floors. So,
well, I'll be curious to see that. But the photos I saw of the Pentagon showed that the marks of the wing, but didn't
well, show those photos may have been chosen by our lying corporate media. To try and start this nonsense that there was no plane at the Pentagon. Kelly, got to let you go. Got to take a break from commercials. We'll be right back.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are living in dangerous days, and I am frightened by what you say. It chills right to the core, this talk of holy war.
Welcome back to our show here. We have open phone lines, 512-248-8252. And somebody just sent me a photograph of the impact point on the Pentagon taken before those upper floors collapsed. And there is a very prominent hole there. And after the radio show, I will add that to the article on the Pentagon. Anyway, we're going to go back to the phones. Mitchell in Memphis, hello. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike Rivera, what's going on?
You tell me.
I'll try. Listen, Mike, y'all brought up the Pentagon. I think, let's look at this logically, and I don't know what the answer is, but there's three possibilities here, I think.
Mm-hmm.
A plane hit the Pentagon.
Yes.
No plane hit the Pentagon, an airliner. Or, I don't know what hit the Pentagon.
Okay, well, let me...
I'm going to take number three.
Well, I'm going to take number one. And I'm taking number one simply because there were literally hundreds of eyewitnesses who saw that commercial passenger jet fly toward the Pentagon and not a single witness who saw it flying away. So,
I got you.
I will concede the government could pull some kind of a dirty trick, but why would they bother? They have to get rid of that airplane and the passengers anyway. Why not crash it into the Pentagon?
That's true, but what I want to do here is I want to look and first of all do a comparative study, if you will, between the Twin Towers and the Pentagon. Now, you talked about the Roadrunner. The Twin Towers, and I'm not taking a position here. I don't know what happened. But the Twin Towers was constructed with, I think those were 14-inch Vox columns.
That's in the core, yes.
And they, and I'm not talking about the core. I'm talking about the perimeter columns, 14-inch box columns, and they were very tight. They were configured very tightly. That's one of the reasons that the Twin Towers fell out of favor, because you didn't have a lot of window space because there was so much steel. But moving on, the Pandex, the floor, was the accordion-shaped thing filled with concrete. Those are at the thickest, 8 inches thick. Mm-hmm. The plane cut through at an angle, which meant it went through the floor and a good number of these 14-inch box columns. Now, we did see the silhouette of a plane, like a Roadrunner cartoon.
Yeah, so what but that, I'm was saying in, is that was in the aluminum cladding.
No, it went through the columns, according to
you
what we saw
on the
video.
You don't know that it went through the columns, because all we saw was the damage to the aluminum cladding.
I thought there was one video where it was leaving a silhouette of what looked like a plane that had entered into the tower.
There are photos where you can see the outline of the plane where it impacted on those soft aluminum outer panels.
So you're saying it didn't enter into the building?
Probably some of it did, but most of it wound up on the street below. Or the
okay.
plausible.
Well, the next thing, when you do an analysis of the construction of the Pentagon, first of all, the Pentagon was a wartime effort. It was not very well built.
Well, actually, it had been going through a renovation.
Exactly, on the windows. That was because of Oklahoma City, and they were treating the windows because they were concerned about street bombs on because of what happened, I guess, at the Murrah Building. But what I'm saying, and I'm not taking a side here, I'm saying I don't know what happened, but I do want to look at the Pentagon for a second. That would be clad with veneer cladding, would be 4 to 5 inch thick Indiana limestone. I'm doing a cut through a wall section. Then you would go to brick ties. The brick ties would go to maybe 3 deep bricks in a cavity wall construction between columns. On the bricks would be furring strips, followed by maybe 3 coats of plaster. That's all it was. There's nothing special. It's not some foreboding. All I'm saying that if you see a type of damage to the Twin Towers, you should have seen that same type of damage to the Pentagon, or the converse would be true.
And oranges in terms of construction. The Pentagon.
Yes, one was brick, and one and
the Pentagon didn't have to go up 110 stories, and it was built for its time very solidly, and it was going through a renovation to strengthen it against possible attack.
My last thing here is.
All right. Well, listen. I've already made my arguments. I've got the article up at whatreallyhappened.com. It's now the topmost article on the main page, and you can look at my response there. And again, after the radio show, somebody just sent me a photograph of the hole in the Pentagon before those upper floors collapsed on it, and it is, large enough to be an aircraft entering that building here. And I don't want any more 9/11 calls, because that was a long time ago, 20 years, and we have problems to deal with today. So, thank you very much for the phone call, and we're going to go to Mark in North Carolina. Actually, Mark, I'm probably going to have to take you through this next commercial break. What's on your mind?
Basically, you wanted to talk about what's going on with this budget thing going on in Washington, the way they're, not only wasting our money, but they're trying to push this garbage Green New Deal in us, electronic cars, which I know, I think you think they're okay. I don't. I think they're a bad idea to give the government and others more control over us, and we don't really have the energy to power these batteries anyway, especially now with Afghanistan, with a lot of that the stuff we would have needed from those batteries. We couldn't get. And
we had 20 years to dig that stuff up, and nobody bothered. They were too busy harvesting the opium.
Yep.
Okay, Mark, stay on the line. Yeah. Mark, stay on the line. I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Corporations, Wall Street and the banks rule our politicians. They don't deserve our thanks. Then they tell us the banks are too big to fail, when the banksters all need to be in jail.
Okay, we have open phone lines, 512-248-8252. We're talking with Mark in North Carolina about the budget. And, Mark, just pick up where you left off.
Yeah, well, I just want to comment, too, about that song. That's so true. That's where these people belong, in jail. Instead, they're really running the country. Them, big tech, big media, and a whole bunch. And now they're going to, you know, they're going to pass this these horrible bills. I understand they got a CR, so I guess that means they're not going to get all the money that they wanted. So that's good, at least, you know, but not good enough, because they're going to really be pushing this so-called infrastructure bill, which is nothing but the Green New Deal. They want these electronic cars, which I think is a threat. Most people don't want an electric car, okay?
Well, you know, I'll be very honest. I think ultimately electric cars are the way of the future. When, you know, our Honda on Oahu got stolen and stripped, we looked at some electric cars as a replacement, but they were too expensive. And I'm very happy with the Hyundai we have here. But the big problem is there is not enough electrical generating capacity for a large segment of the population to have these cars.
Exactly. That's what they want. Yeah. They don't want you to have those cars. They want to keep it just for the elite to have those cars. and they want you either walking or taking your public transportation, which would really give them control. Look right now what's going on with this COVID nonsense. A lot of places you can't, I don't know about New York City, whether you can even go on a New York City subway anymore if you're not vaccinated, okay? This is the kind of control they want, and they'll give it to them. Because you're right, the infrastructure does not, we don't have the rare earth material for these kind of batteries. I can understand the hybrids. I wouldn't mind getting a Prius myself, especially with the price of gas going up the way it is now. I also have a Hyundai, but probably my Hyundai is a tank. And I understand from my mechanic the other day, a lot of these are having trouble consuming oil. So, you know, I got to, usually every 1,000 miles or so, I got to add another quart of oil in there, you know?
Well, so, we're very lucky. You know, our car, we just had the fluids checked and everything was fine.
Well, it was fine up to about 100,000 miles. And then I started having problems with oil.
We're nowhere near that. So, okay.
But I've had other cars. Look, I had a... I had an old General Motors, what do you call it again? They're not making them anymore. I got a 350,000 miles before I finally had to junk it. And I got it when it had over 120,000 miles. I was living in Texas at the time. I got it in New Mexico. So,
well, they don't make them like that anymore.
Well, they made them then. It was a simple four-cylinder. The Saturn, you know, it was a Saturn. It was a Chevy, the Saturn, which they don't even make anymore, you know, for some reason. It's a good car.
Well, you know, cars today, the low-end cars are designed for a lifespan of just 5 years. The high-end cars are designed for a lifespan of about 8 years, 5 years for the original owner, and then 3 years for whoever buys it secondhand.
Oh, okay.
Now there are exceptions. The Hyundai we have came with a 100,000 mile powertrain warranty, and like I said, we're not even close to that right now.
Yeah, mine came with the same thing, and it's coincidentally that right around the time it reached the end of that warranty, I started having problems with oil consumption. Now it's still running pretty good, but you got to really keep your eye on it. It's also, I've been having a problem with the catalytic converter. I had to change the converter like three times already. So I found a guy that does it for cheap, like for $200 around here. But it'll last you a year. But the one I got when I had to get a new one from Korea, they had to send it in for Korea for 6 months. They charged me $1,000, and on top of that, it lasted even less than the one I got at the shop here. And,
I have to tell you, I'm sorry you had such problems with it. You know, our car, you know, this is not supposed to be a car show, so let me just sum up here.
I know.
You know, our car is running wonderfully. It's the best car I've ever had. If it gets low on oil, there's a little warning light that comes on the control panel. This thing's got automation all over the place.
One more thing, Mike. I just want to warn
just
people.
One more.
Okay. I just got a call a few minutes ago from somebody saying, I think they were from the Social Security Administration office. This is a special agent I had to talk to, and I knew right away it was a sham, but I just...
Yeah, it's a scam.
I hit press for one, and a guy with an Indian or Pakistani accent comes on, which is always the case. Now, see, I'm smart enough. I'm not going to give him... I told him, he says, well, what's the problem? I says, first of all, you got to take your private part out of your mouth. Or is it in your the other part of your body? You know, I'm not going to say the word. I know you don't want me to say it over the air.
But, I'm trying to run
you
a
can imagine
show
what
here.
I told him. Okay, and then I told him to F himself on top of it, and he hung up on me. Okay, and
right.
But I've got these calls before, and I've complained to the sheriff's department. He said there's nothing they can do. It's a federal matter. You call the federal government, you can't even get anybody on the line. Nobody's going to do nothing about that.
It's a mess.
There are people stupid enough to give them the information. I shouldn't even think stupid enough, gullible enough to give them that information. Okay? And then they're going to wonder when they, you know, if they have a bank account or whatever else, they're going to get, you know, they're going to wonder why they lose it. Okay? So this is what these people are up to. And people got to wise up and understand it. And something should be done to stop these things from going through. But unfortunately, it's probably coming from another country.
Generally, they are. They're doing this scam from other countries outside U.S. jurisdiction, and that's why they get away with it. And, you know, educating the public about these scam calls is the best that we can do. You know, and Social Security does not call you. The IRS does not call you. They do everything through the Postal Service. And so if somebody calls up and says, you know, I'm from the IRS and there's a warrant out for your arrest unless you immediately do whatever, it's a scam call. And, you know, I get more scam calls than I get any other variety around here. You know, it's really out of control. Anyway, Mark, thank you for the call.
Okay.
All right. Have a good day. And we're going to switch over to Tom in Baltimore. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. You're talking about the budget and scams. I think the whole budget situation that's reported to us is a scam.
Yes.
I think this country is anything but broke. I think it's flush. It is not in the red, it's in the black. People can look at the comprehensive annual financial report to see the tip of the iceberg, because I don't even think that covers all the
money. Well, the problem with the comprehensive annual financial reports is they are counting assets that are not convertible, like the public buildings and certain infrastructure. They all have a calculated value. But when you talk about the actual cash supply, the very nature of the private central bank is to plunge people and nations into unpayable debt. They've been playing that scam for 300 years. That's why when this country was started, we literally fought a revolution to break free of a private central bank. And we operated on a coinage basis, gold and silver, up until the establishment of the Federal Reserve, which plunged us back into that same economic slavery that we fought a revolution to be free of.
Of course. And like I said, the CAFR is only the tip of the iceberg relative to the Fed. Of course, we're using counterfeit dollars. They're not real dollars because the coinage
acts. No, they're debt notes.
And they're debt instruments, exactly. But the coinage act still stands, and we know what a dollar is by that coinage act. And it certainly is not the piece of paper, that Federal Reserve note. Lastly, I just wanted to say I really didn't think it was courteous of you to cut the caller off, who seemed very knowledgeable about buildings, and he was talking about 9/11. It's certainly your prerogative what topics you want to cover, and I'm respecting that. But to not let him make his last and final point, this listener, and I think many others, would have liked to have heard that final point, and you're better than that, Michael. You shouldn't have cut him off.
Well, I did cut him off because, you know, we get hit with these calls on a regular ongoing basis to try and pull us off topic. And it is my prerogative to try and stay on topics that are current today. Now, 9/11 was a horrible fraud perpetrated on the American people. It's important to remember it, but it was 20 years ago, and we're dealing with other frauds and lies by the government today that we really need to stay focused on. Anyway, thank you for the phone call, and we're going to switch over to Marco in Alabama. Hello, Marco. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
You know, I tried to listen, you know, to as much, you know, independent media as possible. But I never really hear anybody talking about, you know, like, you know, the antibody immune, you know, dependency and the end game with this. I mean, I'm starting to, like, draw parallels, you know, as it pertains to, all right, if they get enough of the population sick, you know, they'll be able to sustain, you know, their medical industrial complex where they, you know, most of Americans, you know, the last 10 years have been going to school into nursing and things like that. But I also see, you know, that it, you know, they're going to create, you know, a state of humanity where everybody is so ill that things like climate change and pollution and all types of stuff like that will be enhanced because everybody is so messed up that they can't go outside. So all of a sudden, you know, you're going to have people that are against, you know, have mandatory sunscreen or something like that. And they're just going to make money off of this. And, you know,
that's what it's really all about, you know, and, you know, as it becomes more and more obvious that COVID was an engineered pathogen, You have to wonder if this was engineered simply to build market demand for the vaccine companies.
I think this was engineered to get rid of Mr. and Mrs. America. Like I said before, we cost too much. You know, our standard of living is too high. They want us, you know, to sit here and live in 9x9 coffin apartments, you know, giving our soul to the company store and all of that. But, you know, to the degree of which we, you know, the unknown of what's ended up happening. They're saying that there's correlations, you know, with cancer. There's correlations, yes, you know, with infertility, so that they can justify, you know, bringing in all the immigrants, you know, and people who will work less than us because they have lower expectations because they've been living under globalism. You know, most of Latin America and most of Africa, and it's the Europeans that are more likely, you know, to sit here and protest because, you know, we invented most of this stuff. We invented communism to put the rest of the world under and things like that. We're the ones that will speak out against it. So, you know, I really think, dude, overall, it's you know, COVID, dude, is indirectly aimed at Europeans, because Europeans will complain, you know, about work conditions and things like that, where other minorities, you know, who have already, you know, been on the low economic rung, you know, for so long, they'll be like, oh, this is no different than what I'm used to and things like that. So I'll just go with it and things like that. And, you know, then they'll move up because, you know, they're not complaining, and, you know, they'll get put in manager roles and, you know, things like what you see with like CNN, dude, where these people, dude, who couldn't carry water, dude, to, you know, anybody, dude, that's really interested in journalism, they get these anchorman roles and things like that. Well, yep. You know, European Americans, dude, who pretty much, you know, built most of the society and created most of the things, dude, that we have created, you know, sit here and fall under in the cracks, dude, and we're told, dude, to shut up, dude, because, you know, we don't have, you know, any part of their cultural, you know, I mean, we have no culture apparently, and that, you know, yeah, but I just think, dude, that a lot of this stems, dude, from, you know, what's going to happen in the future, and no media, dude, that I really talk about, dude, goes into the deep dive, dude, about, you know, mainly because they probably don't know, but when you sit here and you think about this, dude, we're creating a society where everybody is sick.
Yeah,
and
that's
and
exactly
nobody's
it.
Healthy, and anybody, dude, that, you know, decides, dude, to, you know, say no and not comply, we're either going to die, dude, or we're all going to get rounded up, dude. And that's what's going to wind up happening. Nobody wants to talk about that. And nobody wants to talk about that, you know, so that we don't have any, you know, case or any ammunition to sit here and fight what's currently going on right now, dude. And I just think, dude, that a lot of independent media places, you know, don't want to talk about it, dude, but it's originally going to hurt all of us. Because, you know, we don't have, you know, the ability, dude, to think forward enough, dude, because we're too caught up in just trying to get by today than to sit here and face, dude, what the long-term problem is.
Well, what the Maslow's long-term hierarchy game is. Again, you know, we're being basically shoved down to that bottom layer of just immediate survival. and we're just oblivious to the other concerns.
I mean, because when I sit here and I think about, you know, acquire antibody dependent enhancement, that's just leftist doublespeak, dude, for, you know, kill off your natural immunity and become the boy in the bubble. And people
exactly.
are willingly going for it, and they're accepting it. You know, they're going to accept, you know, the fact, dude, that, you know, you've taken the vaccine to save yourself from a fake virus. But now you got cancer, and every known thing, dude, that's genetically wrong with you is being enhanced, dude, because, you know, this was an mRNA vaccine. So if your father had heart disease, your heart disease is going to come out. You know, if you had diabetes, your diabetes is going to come out. All of that stuff. I mean, it's just a soft kill to get rid of everybody, you know, that will complain, that will sit here and think rationally and be like, you know, I'm a part of the middle class. And I'm not going to sit here and accept a lower wage. I'm not going to sit here and accept, you know, because they'll try to leverage, you know, people economically. Well, you're unvaccinated, so, you know, and treat you like you're an illegal immigrant, dude. I'll turn you in, dude, if you don't do my work and things like that.
Well,
I mean,
if
this
you
is
were
the,
an
where
illegal
we're creating.
Immigrant, they wouldn't mandate, they wouldn't require you to have a vaccine, would they?
Well, no, see, that's the whole thing, though. You know, you got to get rid of Mr. and Mrs. America, and the way that you do that is by, you know, saying things like, you know, the lieutenant governor, new governor of New York, that we'll take foreigners instead of you. I mean, that should be evident to even your most, you know, bottom of the mill liberal dude that they don't care about you.
No, absolutely.
Right,
absolutely.
We need to start having more deep dive discussions about the ramifications of where we see this going. And you know, like the not just, you know, the health aspect, but the socioeconomic and all
Marco,
that stuff.
Marco, I apologize. I apologize. I have to cut you off. We're at a commercial break, and I got other callers waiting on the line. So thank you very much for your input, and we'll be right back.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC. Somersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
Welcome back to our show, last segment of the program today, and we're going to go to Rick in Arizona. Hello, Rick. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yo, Mike. How am I coming in?
You're coming in fine.
You know, the average person gets 6 respiratory ailments a year, and your immune system crushes most of them.
Yes.
But occasionally you get sick. And that's what these medical doctors, they all know that. And, you know, Alex Jones, you know, for the last month has been selling ivermectin. I wonder which pharmaceutical company has the patent on that drug, and it's probably expired. It's probably generic.
Yeah, that's another reason they don't want you using it. If it can be made generic, then there's no profit in it.
But the question is, since it is fake, what are you even taking it for? Why would anybody take it?
Well, there's something out there that is making people sick, and ivermectin does seem to cure it. The problem is that the big money is in ongoing vaccination rather than a cure. It's all being driven by the economics, if you will. And it's a very corrupt system. And, there is something out there making people sick. It could even be the seasonal flu. But whatever it is, ivermectin does seem to deal with it. When Trump came down with it, they let him have ivermectin. They just don't want you to have ivermectin because they're going to make more money off of you with a series of vaccine booster shots every, it's down to 5 months now.
Well, I still don't know anybody who's really been sick. It's been going on 18 months now. I don't know anybody who knows anybody. And, I got funeral parlors advertising on TV.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, if there's a pandemic, what are you doing commercials for? And you can buy health insurance without a physical. Cheap.
Yep.
So the evidence is in. This whole thing's a hoax. Whether the vaccine's going to kill you or not, who knows? But I would stay away from it. But this thing is, David Icke is totally right. This thing is totally, totally fake. And they direct it anywhere they want to do, direct it to convenience themselves. Whatever they're doing it for.
They're making billions of dollars off of this whole deal. Anyway, Rick, I'm going to let you go because I want to try and fit in one more phone call before the end of the show. We're going to go to Andrea in Oklahoma. Welcome back, Andrea. What's on your mind?
Yes, aloha. If you were to put a call out, like for instance, what's going on in Australia, that the people are trying to protest and the police are not standing with the people at which we pay their income, if you were to put a call out saying, I would like to just receive calls today of people that are in the police force or sheriffs, to see what they're thinking, if it all came down to people demonstrating, would they stand with the people or would they stand with the government? And there was a fella, his show is called...
Okay, Andrea, I hate to cut you off, but there's the music. I have started many shows saying I want callers to call on a particular subject here. Thank you for the phone call. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report. Steve Elkins is taking the microphone tonight. Please spread the word of Republic Broadcasting. Spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Please donate. We'll be back tomorrow, Friday. Aloha, America.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.